Level up with Dr. Leyland. Step into the future, the world is waiting now. Dreams are in the making, we'll show you how. From the books to the screen, from the stage to the stars. Level up your game, let's raise the bar. Innovation, inspiration, it's in our DNA. Breaking through the limits, we're paving the way. Level up, reach the sky, take the lead, don't be shy. Your story's worth it, your light will shine. At Level Up will be heard, building a legacy with every word. From podcasts to pages, from business to art, Level Up's the place where it all can start. With heart and with vision, we're chasing every goal. Together we'll ignite the fire in your soul. Level Up, reach the sky, take the lead. Don't be shy, your story's worth it, your light will shine. At Level Up Academy, it's your time. Oh, it's your time. At Level Up Academy, we rise and climb. Whoa, how are you guys doing? Welcome to Level Up Academy by Dr. Leyland. Yes, this is a community where we bring in some guests every single week, whether it's me teaching something or bringing in a guest to educate us, right? And today we are going to be with our amazing guest, David Medansky. I'm hoping I'm saying that name, last name right, but we're going to find out. I am actually very happy about this conversation. David is kind enough to send me his workbook and his book, and I've been reading it just like anybody else. If you guys send me anything, I will read it because I think it is the least I could do for even giving it to me and giving it in my peripheral, right? And I love reading people's stories. I love reading people's thoughts. And also, given the time of the day, right? We are all busy. But imagine instead of you scrolling on TikTok, which I know some of you do because I know I do, right? Read so you can do better for yourself. And really take the moment and the time to see what they're trying to say. Everybody sometimes read different books. Some are usually for entertainment. Most of the time, it's really self-help. And you, some people always say, well, that's their experience, right? But it is through our experience that we share the information so you don't have to suffer what we have suffered. And that is what David is trying to do for our community to level it up, is sharing information based on what he has done for himself, right? So this is going to be an amazing conversation, and I cannot wait, because eating healthy isn't about restriction, It's about nourishment, energy, and thriving in a world filled with what? Processed choices, especially in the United States. We're going to talk about that today. And the quick fix. We like everything quick. Choosing whole, nutrient-rich food is a powerful act of self-respect. Your body is your home. Feel it like you want it to last a lifetime. And we all know most of the time, right, in the Bible it says, hey, if you live 3 scores, you're lucky. And some of us don't make it. Van Kilmer, my husband just told me, died. If you don't know who that is, that's an actor, guys. He did have cancer, but 65, really? That's pretty young, right? And when you're young, you abuse your body because you think you can live forever. That's another problem because guess what? Not everybody lives forever, right? Nobody does, really. It's not like back in the days. Anyhow, I'm really excited about what we're going to have a conversation today. So I'm going to show you here for academic publishing, guys. This first book that we published, 3 years ago, we have made it in 6 different languages for academic publishing. We're about to do that again in May or June, maybe even September this year. It takes a while to convert it, but we are actually having amazing people coming in to our academic publishing, and a minimum is a master's degree to actually do academic publishing. I prefer PhD because they know how to do dissertation, but my amazing brothers and sisters are coming in for academic publishing right now, right? And we are about to present it by the end of this month, guys. Welcome to April, okay? Welcome to April. April Fool's Day? No, we're not fooling around, okay? We're not fooling around. We are actually asking, this is a free event, so if you guys can come, that would be wonderful. The registration is under levelupwithdoc.com, and I'll show you in a minute, and I'll also post it on the comment section. And really what we want, or who we want to invite, is everybody, but especially those policy makers, those people with power who can make the changes. We're inviting all academicians. We're inviting all researchers to come in and listen to what we actually have done in terms of research. We have mental health. We have ADHD assessment. We have belonging and productivity. For me, I'm going to be doing my research on mentorship for women and girls. Just like David, you know, he does a full research. I've read his book, and not all the way yet. But so far, he has done his research, and I'll ask him to actually refer to that book in a minute. But when I do my research, America, we like to scream equality for women and girls. And we have pushed through till, you know, today, right? But here's the thing. You don't hear the world so loudly, but yet we are not in the top 10 when it comes to women empowerment in terms of what? Facts, guys, we don't make as much as men. It's not about men and women, it's about equality, right? So how are we, right, here in America that we are proponent for women, we have a lot of grassroots, but yet we're not even, we barely hit the top 20. And this is sad because guess what? I have 2 daughters, right? So I'm going to make it my life's mission to push mentorship for women and girls. My dissertation is about executive women leaders. I have done this research for the last 30 years. Yes, I know. You're like, you can't. Yeah, I have. Since I came into this country, actually, right? I have done research. I couldn't speak English when I came here, by the way, right? I didn't know English. My parents and my mom's born in LA, but I was born and raised in the Philippines. So when I came here, I had no Bisaya, a little bit of English, but I'll tell you that another time on my embarrassing moment for English speaking people, for sure. Also, I want to thank you. This right here, this went #1 international bestseller in like 11 categories, guys. It was so amazing. It's available now on Amazon, and we are actually selling it. This is the first time that I'm selling a colored book, both in paperback and also in hardback. The very first time that I did hardback as well, because I do all the book covers. And let me tell you, the book cover on this one kicked my butt for sure. But some of our anthologies do go to university. One of our anthologies, Beyond Boundaries, is on like 1,500 syndicated websites with high SEO links. So that's what I do when you are an author. I amplify your message, and we're doing the same for David today. So I am actually sharing. David is on this one as well. I don't know if you saw it yet, but this is Level Up Circle Magazine. This is my fifth edition. It's single right now, but if you actually open it and fold it, you'll see the whole difference. But I'm going to just skip to David because it's so amazing. I have Agape in there. Charles is in here. There's David. Look at that. Who is that handsome man? Look at. I have his book, guys. Okay, I'm going to read some part of it. But yes, and the picture of Orange with this lady, I don't know who the lady is, David's going to tell us. It's so amazing. It's just a pop-up. Like, I feel like it was an orange, you know? I also don't know who this gentleman is, but David's going to tell us, right? And so this and this, when you open this two together, it actually is like this, like a heart for food. So that's what I was aiming for anyway. And I love, you know, veggies everywhere. So yes, thank you so much for saying yes to Level Up on this one, David. Let's go ahead and bring him up so we can start the conversation immediately. Welcome.
Hi, CJ. How you doing? Thank you for having me today as a guest.
Yes. Hello, YouTube. Say hello to YouTube. We have about 470 live watchers right now. So thank you for coming in. Can you introduce yourself to us, please?
I'm David Medanski, and I'm known as the health guy because I like to lead by example for living a healthy lifestyle. Basically, at age 61, I got my wake-up call when the doctor told me, based on my lab results and that I was fat, I had a 95% chance for a fatal heart attack. He gave me two options: lose weight or find a new doctor. He strongly encouraged me to find a new doctor, even gave me a list of doctors to call because he had been after me for 8 years to lose the weight. And if I did lose weight on a diet, I gained it all back, sometimes even more. So this time was different. I was embarrassed, I was humiliated, and I was frustrated. During the next 4 months, I shed 50 pounds, which is 25% of my total body weight back then. More importantly, I've kept it off. And then 2 years ago, at age 67, I hiked up Mount Kilimanjaro. So age should not be a factor in determining whether you're going to be healthy and what type of lifestyle you're going to lead. What I learned is back in the 70s, when I was healthy and fit and trim, I was into reading nutrition books and health books like Jack LaLanne's books, Richard Simmons, Paul Bragg and Patricia Bragg, William Duffy's Sugar Blues, which is still more relevant today than ever. And I realized they were talking about basic concepts. Then I read authors from today's authors, and I realized they were talking about their products, their programs, their methods. It made it sound like if you did not invest in their programs or products, you'd fail. I thought, something's wrong here. So I started writing books. My first one, as you showed, that was Discover Your Thinner Self. Now, that's the fifth one, Jaded Health. It was in the magazine. That's with Dean Cain. That's who the actor is that I was being interviewed by. And the lady in orange is Vonnie Harry. She's the food babe. And she wrote the book Feeding You Lies. And she's working a lot with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. now. So yeah, that's Dean Cain. And that was my first book, Discover Your Thinner Self. When I was writing the books, they were basically for weight loss and health. And I switched over to health because I realized when you eat for your health, the weight takes care of itself. When I work with clients, they always tell me they never feel like they're on a diet or feel restricted because it's a lifestyle changes. We shift their mindset to create new habits. And that's what I love about helping people is where they have more energy, they get rid of the brain fog, they shed a few pounds, they feel better, and they improve their overall health.
I love that. I was actually reading, and this is where I look at your bio pretty much everywhere. Like before you come in, that I do that for all of my guests because it's just respect. Like if you're going to have a guest, you need to get to know them, right? Before I invited you in. And I really want to talk a little bit about, I think our conversation today is more than inspiring on the health, but how you transition, right? You're transitioning from like law to health advocates, right? And you focus exposing on misleading practices within the food and weight loss industry, which you just mentioned. Some people before, when they're writing the books, it's all about getting you healthy. But today it's more of like, I got healthy, here's my program. And if you don't do it, you're going to not weight loss, you know, lose weight that you need, which is a switch. And then you also emphasize the importance of adopting healthy habits over temporary dieting solutions. And I think that's what quick fix for us right now. It's all big on TikTok. Oh, you did this Ozempic this and all this and you know, inject and all that. And I'm thinking, do you guys not know that everything that you put in your body has limitations, but on top of that also has issues for your body that you don't know? It's like medicine, right? I take migraine medicine and I didn't notice it until about 6 months ago. I'm getting all these hives all over my body and I'm like, how come I'm getting this? Like, I think I might be immunocompromised. And then I actually created a bot for health. I took NIH, pub health, everything, because I like academics. So I take all of those things, put it on my bot so I can ask my own doctor literally on my bot. So I've been having people test on it and it's working really well. I asked my bot, and I've had this neurologist for 4 years or 5 years now, never told me that part of the symptoms of my medicine is hives. And when I went back and I told him and I said, hey, how come you never mentioned to me that part of the issues with this is hives? And his answer was what did he say? He said something like, you have to pick your battles or something, because I was in dire need. To be honest, I was pretty bad. I had 22 out of 30 days, I would be vomiting 19 times a day on average because of my migraine and I can't function. When I was getting this other master's for cybersecurity, I took about 6 months off because I couldn't think straight. I was just bad. And so he's like, it's either that or this. And I'm like, okay, but even though it's either that or this, I think I have the right to know that what I'm taking on my body, right? It's your responsibility to tell me that there's a possibility, because that way I don't think I'm going crazy. Right. Because when I told my husband, I said, I think the dogs, because we have three dogs, I think the dogs might have mites because I'm having like bites or hives. And he's like, what? We just took them to the vet. So I'm like, okay, maybe I'm really going crazy. And when I got my bot and I asked it what the symptoms are, it literally lists right there, top three. Right. So I love that you said that, adopting healthy habits over temporary dieting solutions, because I think we like, in this country at least, we like everything quick. Right. And yes. I know you're in Arizona with your wife Deborah, that's so nice. You continue to help people through writing and speaking and obviously being on podcasts and things like that to empower us. But I want to know, other than your health, why do you continue to let others like send your message out there? Hey, this is not good for you. What motivates you to keep doing?
Well, as you mentioned, I'm a former lawyer. I did divorce work most of the time. I'm fed up with the food industry and their deceptive marketing promoting healthy food that is really toxic and unhealthy for us. And what a lot of people don't understand is our food is scientifically engineered to make it optimize our cravings for fat, salt, sugar, and texture. So when they say, bet you can't eat just one potato chip, it's not a dare, it's a fact. You're actually addicted to it. I remember going through a whole large canister of Pringles potato chips and still craving more. Girl Scout cookies are a good example also. I would go through a whole box of Thin Mints in 15-20 minutes and still want more. Well, it's because they optimize your cravings for it. And again, what we were talking about before, it's not the food we're eating now, it's what they've done to the food. And a lot of ingredients didn't exist before 1977. One of them is high fructose corn syrup. Another one is aspartame, which is now known as amino sweet. The reason they changed the name of aspartame is because people realized it's dangerous. It's the artificial sweetener used in sodas and sugar-free, which is a misnomer actually, food and beverages. So you hit on something very important at the beginning. You were talking about thinking about food as fuel for your body and nutrition. Most people don't eat thinking about the nutritional aspect of food. They eat it for stress relief, comfort, emotional issues, socializing. Very rarely do people think what they're putting in their body may be doing it harm as opposed to doing it good. And I've identified in the book, The Jaded Health Book, 9 simple golden rules for living a healthy lifestyle. And when people look at those 9 simple golden rules, which I give away for free, they say, I know that. And I understand you know it. The question is, are you doing it? And the majority of people say no. Well, then the question is, why aren't you doing to stay healthy what you know what to do? What's the underlying issues? And a lot of people feel they're eating healthy when they're really not. The way you can tell is looking at the ingredients. So that protein bar that you think is good for you is loaded with sugar, probably has about 400 calories and other chemicals that are not good for you. The energy drinks that people drink are bad for you. Gatorade, people think, oh, it's the electrolytes, it's healthy for me. No. In the late 1970s, when Gatorade was created, it had 5 ingredients, maybe 6. Today, it has 13 or more. And the only 2 original ingredients in Gatorade is sugar and water. So the question is, why are they adding all these additives in? And that's what I attempt to do, is expose the food companies, because they're putting profits above everybody else's health. What's sad, and that stands for Standard American Diet, but what's sad and tragic in this country is, I was just reading this article by Dr. Joseph Mercola, the U.S. spends $4.5 trillion annually on healthcare, yet chronic diseases continue to rise, for heart disease, cancer, and diabetes, all of which are preventable. Diabetes is reversible if it's not too long, and if you haven't had it too long. So there's things that we can do to prevent these chronic illnesses and diseases that kill millions of people each year. And that's why I'm doing it, is to help others. And, you know, there's a term in Japan called ikigai. It means life purpose. I told my wife I came full circle, because when I got out of college, I wanted to be a health coach and go into open a health food store and a health club. Well, life gets in the way. Things change. Family obligations and work responsibilities. And I never did it. So then now I got my wake-up call. Like I said, 2016, come full circle. So now I can help people become healthier and be able to participate in life instead of being a spectator. So what do I mean by that? It means that you're able to get down on the ground with your grandkids or kids and play with them, be active, you know, go outside, do things with them, throw a baseball, throw a football around, play basketball with them, as opposed to watching them from a chair or a bench.
Yeah, that's so important. I know. I even think, I'm always thinking, I'm like, I wonder if I will be able to live long enough to see my grandkids. Like, my grandma just died a week or so ago, and I don't have any more grandparents. But the fact that my kids saw and met and spent time with their great grandmother is amazing. Some people don't get to see their great grandparents, right? And the reason for that's because my mom got married so young and got me so young. On average, people get married now, what, in their 30s, late 20s, right? Back in the days, if you're 18, you're going to be an old maid if no one marries you. You know what I mean? Like, so nowadays it's like, ew, too early to get married. And I tell my kids, I'm like, because that's because the kids are not ready. I see them totally not ready. I do want to read part of your book on page 17, because I thought it was super important to reflect, especially if you guys don't grow up, you never grow up in America. And you see it on TV and movies, but I want to read this page 17 from this book. Okay. It really says, David says, recently a photo of people at the beach in the 70s was posted on Facebook. What is interesting about the photo was that few, if any, of the beachgoers are overweight. In the 1960, the average weight for men ages 20 to 74 was 166.3 pounds. The average waist was 34 inches. Now, in 2002, the average weight of a man dramatically increased to 191 pounds. That's 2002. In 2021, the average weight of a man is 197.9 pounds, and their waist expanded to 42 inches. From 34 to 42, that's craziness. Meanwhile, the average weight of a woman rose from 140.2 pounds in 1960 to 164.3 pounds in 2002 to 168 pounds in 2021. Now, the average waist size of a female rose from 25 inches in the 60s to 39 inches in 2021. And then he asked, have you noticed a trend? And David and I had a conversation. It's like, that took me aback for a little bit because I'm a visual person. So I'm thinking, oh, you're right. And it's so funny because back in the days we eat margarine like it was ice cream. You know, everybody eats butter like my grandmother. You should see, she just slavers her butter. Like what the, you know, and she grew up like that. And she died at 94 and she never had any problems. And then she put sugar on her coffee like it's three. I'm like, how do you eat like that? And, you know, because I think she's still thinking back in the days they did that and it was okay and it was safe, right? So talk to us about this research part of your book.
Yeah, again, with the high fructose corn syrup, the aspartame, I used to think that people gain weight because of stress. However, I was listening to another health professional and they were saying it's because of convenience. And I think that's more accurate because it's easier today to go through a fast food drive-thru. It's easier to throw a frozen food into the microwave. It's easier to order a pizza or pick up Kentucky Fried Chicken or Church's Fried Chicken or Popeye's Fried Chicken. All of it is toxic to me. I won't touch it. Than to go shopping and prepare the meal at home. And people are under the illusion that it's expensive to eat healthy, when the fact is it's cheaper to eat healthier than it is to eat convenience foods. Again, people don't look at labels. They don't read the nutrition fact panels accurately. Most people look at the calories, they'll look at the sodium, the sugar content, the fat content. Very few people will read the ingredients, which is the most important part, which is in the smallest fine print. And they do that on purpose because they don't know what you want, what you're putting into your body. One example is ice cream. When we were growing up, ice cream was healthy for you because it was basically milk, sugar, a few other ingredients, and that was it. Today, if you read the labels, it's loaded with chemicals, and there's an additional chemical they added to keep it because of transportation from the manufacturer to the grocery store to your home. Because what happens if the ice cream would melt and get a little soft, it would crystallize when it refroze. So there's a chemical they added to keep it from crystallizing and refreezing and make it and stay, keep it creamier, because again, it's going from the plant where they manufacture it to the grocery store, and then you buy it and then take it home. So between that time you put it in the freezer, it may get soft and a little bit melted. That stuff has never existed before 1980. Again, it's not the food we're eating, it's what they've done to the food. If you look at the size of a chicken in the 1940s, it's about 1/4 the size of the chickens today. My mom, who's 91, went to the grocery store and she bought some chicken breasts. She thought she was getting 4 chicken breasts. When she opened the package, she realized it was only 2. That's how big they were. She threw them out. She wouldn't even touch it. My wife did the same thing, thinking she was getting 4 when it was really 2. We didn't want to eat it, so we were going to give it to the dogs. They wouldn't touch it either. So again, you have to be careful what you're putting in your bodies, and my wife included, are, well, what can we eat? What won't hurt us? It's real food, holistic foods. If you can get it from local markets, it's even better. I was talking to a friend. He says, no, I eat chicken. He goes, when I go and get them from, you know, the person that raises them, I keep asking why they're so small. He goes, that's the size they're supposed to be. So
that's funny. I know. Yeah. I grew up in the farm. Yeah. Our chicken, I thought our chicken was fat. Okay. But then when I look at the chicken in America, I'm like, what are they feeding this chicken in America? Even now, when I buy a burger, I like burgers once in a while. I still can't finish a burger. I've never been able to finish a burger. And I eat burgers weird. Like most people just take a burger and shove it. I'm like, okay, first of all, which part of your mouth do you think you're going to bite in that thing? It's not. I wear lipstick. I'm not going to have lipstick like a clown. Nope. So I always cut my burger with my knife and I cut it in like 4 to 6 slices. And then I can take the piece like a pizza and eat it. And that's how. And so I usually about 3 bites on those thing and I'm like full, right? And I was like, what do you guys feed your chickens here? And so I have been in this country for what, 30 something years or more, and I love to cook. That's the thing, is I love cooking because to me, I get to do my own spices, I get to teach my kids how to cook, and my youngest daughter knows how to cook, my oldest knows how to bake, because when we grew up, that's how I did it. And my husband likes cooking here, but you know, it's really, I think what it is like you said, it's definitely convenience and the food. And I wanted to talk about what I was talking about, the common ingredients that we have in the USA, guys, that's banned in other countries. And David literally hit the first one, which is high fructose corn syrup. So if you go to the grocery store, this is your next challenge, okay? 600, almost 700 of you looking and watching, and you're probably an international, but for the US people, the next time you go to the grocery store, just read, get your reading glasses. Like me, I can't read any ingredients, but just put your reading glasses on and it's like, okay, if it's high fructose, and literally you don't even have to go in the back, in the front, right? Even your ketchup will literally say high fructose corn syrup. If it has that, just put it back. It's just not good, right? Because what is the purpose of that? It's sweetener in sodas and snacks and all kinds of food, right? And it's literally, right now it says it's banned in the UK, EU, European Union, that means a bunch of whole European countries, and Japan. Potassium bromate strengthens the dough, like you eat your pizza, your bread, right? It's carcinogen. It's actually banned in the EU, Canada, and Brazil. Even Canada won't touch it. Come on, but we have it in the US. Preservatives, like what David was talking about, you know, those ice cream, possible human carcinogens. It's illegal in UK, EU, and Japan. Japan's very good. Like, you see all of their, they don't like sugar. But when you go to their bakery, oh my God, their food are so good. But there's like no sugar or less sugar on that because they hate those things. Bleaching agent in bread, color enhancements. You guys have talked about the dye yellow 5 and red 40, right? I'm sure you guys have seen that on TikTok if you're on social media at all. It's hyperactivity in children. All the juices that you have, if you have little kids and you're like, why are they all over the place? Well, guess what? Yellow 5 and red 40, that's what they have. It's artificial food dyes, right? BVO, brominated vegetable oil. They actually put that to emulsify in your soda. They have neurological issues. My daughter, okay, she lost one of her friend at age 13 from brain cancer. Then she had another friend has brain cancer. These are children. And she goes, Mom, I don't understand why there's so many kids who have brain cancer. I don't get it. What is happening? Is it like that in your days? I said, no, we barely have seen any kids that have brain cancer. What are some of your thoughts on that, David?
That's a great example. When I talk about in the book also, a friend of ours was going to his high school 50th class reunion, and his kids were going through his high school book. And then they said to their dad, hey, can we see that again? And they went through and he goes, yeah, what's going on? He goes, well, we're looking at the pictures. None of the kids are fat. And when I went through my high school book, I noticed the same thing. Maybe 2 or 3 kids were a little bit overweight, but for the most part, everybody was thin and healthy. The chicken, yeah. So kids today, at least 25 to 30% are overweight. 41% of the U.S. population is clinically obese. Over 72% are overweight. Think about that. If you're with a friend with 10 people at a gathering, 7 of you are probably overweight and 4 of you are obese. It didn't exist back in the 1960s and early 1970s. today kids are on their computers, their tablets, their games. They rarely go outside and play sports. Some schools don't even offer PE anymore. So there's a lot of reasons for it. But yeah, look at the size of that chicken from 1957 to 2005. And, you know, I won't eat chickens, but I will eat eggs. And I only eat pasture eggs. And there's a difference between cage-free, range-free, and regular eggs. Regular eggs, if you look, they go through a bleaching process to clean them. And you don't know what the shell is absorbing. And when you're asking what they're feeding the chickens, they're feeding them corn and soy, which is grains, to fatten them up. Instead of letting chickens forage for their food, for the bugs, the grass, you know, the insects, because that's what chickens would normally do. So cage-free and range-free are, again, deceptive marketing tactics used by the food industry to get you to buy their product. What they mean is that they're in this huge barn, probably bigger than some homes, and maybe a few of the hens can get outdoors through the doors that are open. But for the most part, most of them are stuck in the middle and inside, where pasture eggs have at least 108 square feet or square inches of free range where they can just be outside and they forage for their own food. That's the difference. Speaking of fast foods, I worked at McDonald's in high school in 1972 and 73. Back then, we would actually peel the French fries, cut the French fries, blanch them, and then put them in the refrigerator overnight before we would deep fry them the next day for the customers. I was working there when they introduced the frozen fries. And one of the crew members said, "I won't touch those." And I said, "Why?" And she goes, "Do you know how much preservatives and chemicals are in there? Because after they freeze them, they have to transport them. And then how do you think they get them not to explode in the, you know, frozen fries in hot oil when you drop them in?" She goes, "It's the chemicals they're putting in there." So she was way ahead of her time. And this is back in early 1970s. So there's a lot of things. Again, it's not the food we're eating, it's what they've done to the food. And it's very important. If you look at ingredients on labels from, like I said, food before 1980s, you may find five or six products. Today, it's a lot more than that for the same product, you know, 10, 15, 20. Tuna fish packed in water on the front, right? If you turn it over and look at the backside, it'll say tuna, water, vegetable broth, and salt or sea salt. Well, what's in the vegetable broth? Well, they can have up to 168 different compounds in that vegetable broth without disclosing what's in there. Why do you need to put vegetable broth into a can of tuna? It's to preserve the shelf life and for transportation purposes. So I do my best to get tuna that just says tuna water and maybe salt or sea salt. And I have to read the labels to find it. So this is what I'm saying to people is, read the ingredients, see what you're actually putting into your mouth. My wife and I went to Italy a couple of years ago in Sorrento and Pompeii. We ate pasta, pizza, gelato, and croissants, did not gain any weight. The reason being is all their food is prepared fresh there. There's nothing that comes in a package. So the spaghetti and the pasta, you won't find on shelves there, because they make it fresh each day. The croissants are made fresh each day. The gelato is made fresh with real ingredients, no preservatives. The pizza tastes different there. And when people say, "Why does it taste different?" Well, again, it's fresh ingredients, real mozzarella cheese, not partial real cheese or imitation cheese. Even today, American cheese is no longer American cheese. They have to call it American slices because it's less than 51% milk. It's all chemicals. And when you leave cheese out, if you see it sweating, you'll see little beads on it. That's the hydrogenated oil coming out of it, which is very bad for you.
Yikes. I'm just showing you like the difference in other Asian countries, because Japan is pretty much a conglomerate of everything. I mean, McDonald's is everywhere in the world, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, the size, like when I went to Japan, I ordered the same thing that I would order here, but their matcha is so much better in Japan. Talking for about sure.
size, I like to address yeah. that real quick because
yes.
one of the 9 golden rules is to eat small portions. And what people don't realize is their portions have been supersized without them realizing it.
Yep.
The reason I say that is in the 1900s, dinner size plates were 9 inches in diameter. Today, they're 12 inches in diameter. At restaurants, it's 13 to 15 inches in diameter. Yet in Europe, except for the UK and other parts of the world, a dinner size plate is still 9 inches in diameter. So I tell people, use a salad plate instead of a dinner size plate. We have it reversed. And it's an optical illusion. It's still Delbault illusion. If you put the exact amount of food on a small plate versus a dinner size plate, it'll look like there's more food on the salad plate. The dinner plate will look like there's less food. That's why people overeat and eat too much. It's because they don't realize how much they're eating.
I actually wanted to address to the way the culture is in America. When we eat food, Americans only think like, oh, I want a burger or I want a pizza. And that's literally the only thing that you eat. When we eat in Asian countries, that's literally what our table is. I still do it. Like I have 4, 5, 6 different. And my kids always look at me like, Mom, why do you need all that? I'm like, because I want to taste everything, but I don't want to eat everything. Does that make sense? Like, what do you mean? I'm like, okay, well, you can have 7 or 8 different things just like a buffet would, like an Asian buffet, right? But yeah. you don't need to eat the whole plate. It's supposed to taste everything little, and then that way you can get full. But you don't take the whole thing like you're going to finish it. You're not going to finish it. Your stomach just can't handle that. But this is really the cultural difference too, is in Asian people, when we have family dinners, when we are, you know, together, it's like that. It looks like a feast, but it's regular dinner, like the regular breakfast. Like when I make breakfast at home, I have rice. Actually, I love garlic rice. So I cook my rice. I have garlic rice. And then I put, you know, tomatoes and veggies and edamame sometimes in there. I love ginger. So we'll have like ginger. And then we're going to have like the main dish, like 3 or 4 different dish, whether it's bacon or something else, but it's always different. And so, and then my husband looks at me because he's Caucasian. He's like, why do you need all that? I just want bacon. I'm like, then you just want bacon. That's all you get. You know what I mean? Like, but you don't need to eat everything. You just need to taste everything. That's why we only cook a small portion, because you're not supposed to eat that whole portion. You're supposed to share it with people and, you know, do it that way. And I think maybe it's the way we're eating, you know, like when you go to restaurants, you only go one burger, and it's because of that convenience that we're talking about. I want to read this part of your book that I thought was interesting. Let's see. Page 37 on Jaded Health. This is me because my kids are literally watching. Okay, I'm going to read the whole entire thing in here. It says, a woman walks with her son. This is the famous Gandhi sugar factory. Yeah. A woman walks with her son many miles to see Gandhi. She's worried her son is eating too much sugar. She asks Gandhi, please, sir, can you tell my son to stop eating sugar? 2 weeks, Gandhi says, bring him back in 2 weeks. Disappointed, she takes her son home. 2 weeks later, she makes a long journey again. Gandhi says to the boy, you must stop eating sugar. It's very bad for you. The woman is confused and asks, why did you want me to wait 2 weeks to bring back my son? Gandhi said, because before I could tell your son to stop eating sugar, I had to stop eating sugar first. The boy has such respect for Gandhi that he stops and lives a healthy life. Okay. That is powerful. And let me tell you why. And I don't know if this is the intention that you have, but as parents, as friends, as daughters, mothers, if you don't set as an example for your children and for the people around you that you're telling to be healthy, they're not going to listen. Because Mom, you do it anyway, so why do we have to do it? Right? So that story is so important, to be an example of what you want people to be.
And that's what I do. I do as I tell people, do as I do, not as I say. And that's the difference, you know, between other professionals and health professionals. What I do is I live what I say. I don't expect anybody to do something that I'm not doing myself. There are 17 short stories and parables in Jaded Health book, and I put them in there because they all have life lessons, and you can use it for more than just eating and living healthy. I took those life lessons and applied it to living a healthy life and eating healthy. One of my favorite ones is the pot roast story. I don't know if you got to that one yet. You may be familiar with it. A lady's hosting a dinner, and she makes a pot roast, and one of the guests says, "This is delicious. Can I get the recipe?" And the host says, "Of course." She writes it down. The guest looks at it and says, "Why do you cut the ends of the pot roast off before you cook it?" And the host says, "I don't know. That's how my mother taught me." The next day, the host calls her mother and says, "Mom, why do we cut the ends of the pot roast off before we cook it?" And her mother said, "I don't know. That's how your grandmother taught me. Call her." So the host calls her grandmother and says, "Hey, Grandma, why do we cut the ends of the pot roast off before we cook it?" And the grandma thinks for a minute. She goes, "Oh, because when I was first married, the pot I had was too small, so I had to cut the ends of the pot roast off to make it fit." So here's a great example of why do we eat certain things or eat a certain way or at a certain time? Because that's how we're taught by our parents. A friend of mine, John Canada, calls it dietary duplication. We don't think, or maybe we're mimicking a friend or another relative that we admire on what they're eating or how they're eating without thinking, why exactly am I eating this, or how am I eating it, or what time am I eating it? So again, when you start thinking about things and analyzing what you're putting into your body and the reason for it, maybe you'll start questioning whether you really want to do that.
Yeah. Follow the leader. We're just following the leader, you know. It is so funny.
Yeah, it's not about being perfect either. It's just being consistent.
That is, consistency is the key. And I need to. I think my daughter and I were like, we're putting something in my storage and we could barely lift up the bag. And we looked at each other. She goes, "Mom, how heavy do you think this bag is?" I'm like, "Maybe like 15 pounds is not a big deal." She's like, "How heavy were we when you were carrying both of us?" I was like, "Girl, that was like, you know, 20 years ago." Like, and she's like, "Mom, you're still strong. You just need to work out." I'm like, "Look at you." She goes, "I know, we need to go back to the gym." I'm like, "Man, you're right. I need to go back to the gym."
Well, actually, I would respectfully disagree that you have to go back to the gym. There are things you can do without paying for a gym membership or going to the gym.
Yeah, there are. I used to do yoga in my house and kinesthetic. To stretch because I have scoliosis. So I can't really do lift weights and all that anyway. Yeah. I do go to the gym because they have yoga classes.
The gym's important, and exercise is important for overall health and fitness.
Walking.
However, most people use exercise to reduce weight, and that's a myth. What happens, especially around New Year's, is people make New Year's resolutions. They go to the gym. They are exercising, they're eating healthy, and 3 weeks later, they weigh themselves and they haven't lost any weight. And they're frustrated because nothing's working. What's happening is they're replacing the fat with muscle. Muscle and fat weigh exactly the same. 5 pounds is 5 pounds. The difference is the muscle takes up less room. It's less, you know, it's more dense than the fat. So I always ask people, "How are your clothes feeling?" And most times I'll say they're looser, and people are asking me if I'm losing weight. But don't go by the scale, because it may take another 2 or 3 or 4 weeks where you start seeing the weight come off because you're building muscle. So that's where I say be consistent. Also, if you're going to the gym, make sure you know how to properly use the equipment and lift the weights so you don't injure yourself. So it's important to talk to a trainer or hire a trainer when you go in there.
True. I actually been working out since I was 16. So I always tell my daughter, like, "Hey, this is," and then they also have their gym teacher to teach them also together. There are certain ways, I won't lift too much weights because my back will hurt. So I never really use that, but I do leg presses. I'm pretty strong with my legs. I used to run. Used to is the key word. My back hurts and my knee hurts. This is what happens when you're getting older.
Walking is one of the most underrated physical activities a person can do. And there's many benefits. So you don't have to make it a brisk walk. You don't have to walk uphill. Just walk. Rebel Wilson, the actress, She lost 77 pounds in a year of simply walking an hour each day. Now, I understand that everybody has an hour to devote to walking each day. Mindy Kaling, another actress, lost weight. What she did is when she had a 10 or 15 minute break, before she would go, on social media and text friends, she would go for a 10 or 15 minute walk. Well, if you go for a 10 or 15 minute walk three or four times throughout the day, that's 30, 45, 50 minutes, 60 minutes. So that's the difference. When you're talking about Val Kilmer, he was an actor who was Ice in Top Gun. That's where most people know him from. But yeah, 65 is young. I mean, I'll be 70 in a couple of days. So that's why I can say 65 is young, because the older I get, the younger everything sounds.
When is your birthday?
April 7th.
Hey, it's your birthday. We're going to party like it's David's birthday. I love it. That is so amazing. I wanted to address this one. Danielle says, for people who are neurodivergent, there are lots of foods that are detrimental to people that are ingredients in everyday snacks in America, not available in other countries. I don't know if you meant the other way, sister, because neurodivergent literally have nuts and seeds. In the Philippines, they have lots of peanuts, almonds, walnuts, pumpkin seeds, sunflowers, you name it. They are rich in omega-3. Greek yogurt with berries, right? They have gut health in there. We use Yakult. Apple slices with nut butter, those have probiotics also, but are balanced for your carbs and protein, so you need to be doing that. Carrots, cucumbers, bell peppers, that is in the Philippines as well. Hummus and veggie sticks, right? Hard-boiled eggs. I grew up in a farm. Yeah. We got eggs all day long. Cheese cubes or string cheese. I think it might be a little bit expensive in there, but it helps with your dopamine support when you have ADHD. Energy, homemade energy balls. I don't know if you guys know how to make those, but they're literally like oats, dates, nut butter, chia seeds, and cacao nibs, and you put it together and it's kind of chewy. Avocado toast, which I love avocado toast. Anytime I can get avocado toast, I will. trail mix. They have, so long as there's no candy, those are low sugar. And obviously dark chocolate that are 70% or higher. Those are for your mood swings. So I think all countries definitely have that. And we don't have the best chocolate in America. I'm sorry, we don't. Switzerland does. And I will stick to that for sure. All right. Oh, my gosh. We have to end. I don't want to end. I do want to ask this question. If this is your last day today on this earth, what would be your parting message to your current and future families in terms of living life, legacy, and impact?
It would be to do your best to eat healthy and live a healthy lifestyle. And that's why I talk about with the 9 simple golden rules for living a healthy life. Because when you do that, your weight will take care of itself. You'll have more energy. You'll have more vitality. You'll feel better. You'll have better mental clarity. I have a little sign that I have in front of me on my computer. It says, attitude is everything. The older I get, the healthier I become. The healthier I become, the more motivated I am to be healthier. And my philosophy is I'm growing younger as I get older. So 80% of our thoughts are negative. Imagine if we reversed that and made it to be 80% positive. What a difference this world would be.
I like that a lot. I wanted to share this with you guys. This is David, and I'm also going to put it on the link if you would like here. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah, if they go to jadedhealth.com, right at the top, there's a little circle that says free PDF of the 9 simple golden rules. One way to get it for free. I give them away.
Awesome. Awesome. Mike, it's been a while. It's profound advice. Mike is so funny. Yes, April 7th. We're going to have to party. Sports drinks, which some have red dye 40, may have links to irritability and may have an impact on learning. So true. I did. I mentioned red dye.
That's my before picture with my daughter at the top.
Oh, let me take
that's
a look.
That's what it looked like in July of 2016.
Wow.
And then that's Costa Rica 2017. That was my birthday. It was April 2018. I drove a race car. And then that's Kilimanjaro in June of 2016 or 22. Yeah, June of 22.
Wow, that's amazing. Also, guys, I wanted to share this as well. Let me see if I can share. To go in to check out, one second here. Amazon has his book as well. And I really highly recommend it because there's a lot of amazing things in there that, especially this book. This book is what I love.
That's the wrong one on Amazon. That's the workbook.
Ah, okay. So this is the one, right? There's a lot. Yeah. So this is one right here, Jaded Health. It looks like this. Okay. And it's an amazing book. I have your workbook as well, which I have not looked at it. Which one is the workbook that's older and which one's the newer? This is the older one, the white one, or the new one?
The new one is the white one.
Yeah, this one's the white one.
That's the daily tracker for Jaded Health 42. That's the new program I'm offering. It's only $59.95, one-time investment. It's doing 7 simple tasks over 42 days. And the beauty of it is you don't have to be perfect. So you have 5 days of grace in there. However, if you have to start over because you were, you know, inconsistent for 5 days, then you have unlimited time to get 42 consecutive days.
Why 42 days?
Two answers. The fun answer is 42 is the answer to the ultimate question of life, the universe, and everything, according to Douglas Adams, who wrote The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. That's in the book. The real answer is research has shown that 42 days is on average before you start seeing noticeable results from making small, supposedly inconsequential changes to your body. So some people may see results sooner, but by 42 days, you should see noticeable results. For example, I had one client, he started the Jaded Health 42 program and he's lost 18 pounds in 3 weeks. Now he's a big guy and he's started a lot heavier than most people. Other people have lost maybe 3, 4, or 5 pounds in a couple of weeks. What I usually tell people is, would you like to weigh 24 to 48 pounds lighter by this time next year? And most people, depending where they're at, would be yes. Well, if you can lose 2, 3, 4 pounds per month, not per week, then on average in 12 months, you'll be 24 to 48 pounds lighter. The problem today is the national organizations will, you know, tout, hey, lose 20, 30 pounds guaranteed your first month using our product. Well, number one, it's not healthy to lose that much that fast. Number two, it's not sustainable. And that's why 90% of people who lose weight on a diet gain it all back. Where people who change their lifestyle and eating habits will keep the weight off permanently. And most of my clients will average between 25 and 40 pounds within a year. The beauty is 2, 3, 4 pounds, years later, they're still keeping the weight off. So it's not a yo-yo diet. And they feel like they're not on a diet because it's not. There's no special products you have to order. There's no special method you have to do. It's flexible based on your likes and dislikes. Because let's face it, we're all different. We have different body chemistries, different hormones, difference between male and female. And so we have, you know, different likes and dislikes. Some people like eating beef, some don't. Some like eating fish, some don't. So you figure out what you like that's healthy for you and focus on that, because according to Oprah Winfrey, what we focus on expands. True. And then you forget about it. So I haven't thought about M&Ms or Pringles potato chips or Girl Scout cookies or soda since July of 2016. It gets easier and easier and you just look at it and you don't even acknowledge it.
I'm not a soda drinker. I am a sucker for coffee and tea. I love tea. I love all Asian teas, especially Korean teas lately. That's what I've been drinking. But I also drink this rice coffee. It's 48% less caffeine, but it has six different mushrooms in there, which I love. And their creamer is for gut health. And I sound like a health nut, but I'm not, guys. Like, I literally gained so much pounds. Like, I'm skinnier than this, but now I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm like over it. So long as I stay healthy and I eat healthy, but I do not eat healthy. I have to tell you that, but I cook at home. I don't really do like the drive through or the easy thing. I always cook at home. But I love bacon. I'm just going to eat bacon. Like, I just love bacon.
I eat bacon. I like bacon. I eat it. I don't eat it every day, you know?
Yeah. eat eggs. I know, and I'm so devastated. Our eggs, it carries between $15 to $20 right now a dozen here in San Diego.
You know, I eat eggs. I eat, you know, 3 eggs just about every day. I talk to some people who eat between 3, 6, even 8 eggs a day. Oh, wow. That's very healthy for you. It's a myth out there.
I can't afford to eat 8 eggs a day.
Well, I understand it. But look at it this way. Let's say you're paying $15 for a dozen eggs. So it's a little over $1.10 an egg.
Yeah.
$1.10. And if you eat 3 eggs, it's $3.30 for the expense of eggs.
Yeah.
If you go to a fast food and you get one breakfast sandwich, you're paying $6, $7, $8. People don't complain about that, but they'll complain $3.30 for something healthy for them. I'm just saying, and the most important thing I can tell people is drink pure water. And what I mean by pure water is distilled water, high quality spring water, because some of it's just from the tap, and water from a 6-stage reverse osmosis. That's what I do. And again, if you ask one expert, Paul Bragg would recommend drinking distilled water. His student, Jack LaLanne, would recommend drinking spring water. And my mentor, Dr. David Freeman, who wrote Food Sanity and Funny Bones, recommends drinking water through a 6-stage reverse osmosis. So you have 3 different health professionals, 3 different experts telling you 3 different things. Who or what do you trust to believe? So you have to figure out what's best for you.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, our bodies are 60 to 70% water. It's not soda, diet soda, fruit juices, fruit flavored beverages, or alcohol or milk. It's water. And 75% of the U.S. population is chronically dehydrated. It means that they're not drinking enough water. And a lot of times when people think they're hungry, they're actually thirsty. So drink water. It's a natural appetite suppressant. You don't need the GLP-1s to be an appetite suppressant. And the other thing is, there's a direct correlation between 75% of the U.S. population being chronically dehydrated and 72% being overweight.
Wow. Drink water, people. That's for sure. Well, thank you so much for being here today. I appreciate your knowledge. I appreciate your time. And I appreciate you really trying to get our communities to think about health. I know that Earth Mama over here loves talking about health, especially on TikTok. Deborah does skin and beauty care, loves to talk about health as well. She is so amazing. She's close to your age than my age, and she's an amazing woman. She got me into this health beauty things that we take, and it helps with my pain for sure. And it's not medicine. It's more of like research to take for yourself. So, which is kind of nice. We need minerals also in our water. If not, then you need to add it. So true. Well, thank you guys so much for being here. I appreciate you, David. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you. And I will talk to you in a little bit. Don't go away. Okay. Thank you guys for being here. I appreciate you guys, especially everybody on YouTube. And actually, tomorrow I will see you at 9 a.m. PST. It's going to be on TV, obviously on Roku, Amazon, and Apple. And also, it will be on our YouTube channel. I might be lecturing, not really lecturing. I hate that word lecture. I feel like I'm on teacher's mode. But I'm going to be sharing with you one of the sponsors that I have. I'm going to highlight it. On if you're looking for a customer, where do you find them, right? You go to LinkedIn, you link people, and it takes a while. This time you can actually go into their database. It's 275 million people in their database that you can actually tap in. I got the free version. You can get the free version too. So I'll show you tomorrow how that works, and then we will have a conversation about it. Bye, everybody. Have a beautiful Wednesday. See ya.